Good morning. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 27. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 27. This is basically the beginning of, I wouldn't say the beginning, but it's basically the covenant that's now being ratified here with the people. So let's go verse 27:1. Then Moses and the elders of Israel charged the people, saying, "Keep all the commandments which I command you today. So it shall be on the day when you shall cross the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God gives you, that you shall set up for yourself large stones and coat them with lime, and write on them all the words of this law when you cross over, in order that you may enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. So it shall be when you cross the Jordan, you shall set up on Mount Ebal these stones as I am commanding you today, and you shall coat them with lime. Moreover, you shall build there an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall not wield an iron tool on them. You shall build the altar of the Lord your God of uncut stones, and you shall offer on it burnt offerings to the Lord your God. And you shall sacrifice peace offerings and eat there, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God. You shall write on the stones all the words of this law distinctly. Then Moses and the Levitical priests spoke to all Israel, saying, Be silent and listen, O Israel. This day you have become a people for the Lord your God. And you shall therefore obey the Lord your God and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today. Moses also charged the people on that day, saying, When you cross the Jordan, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And for the curse, they shall stand on Mount Ebal, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. The Levites shall then answer and say to all the men of Israel with a loud voice, Cursed is the man who makes an idol or a molten image in abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Cursed is he who dishonors his father or mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who moves his neighbor's boundary mark, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who misleads a blind person on the road, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who distorts the justice due an alien, orphan, and widow, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who lies with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's skirt, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who lies with any animal, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who lies with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who strikes his neighbor in secret, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who accepts a bribe to strike down an innocent person, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them, and all the people shall say, Amen. Okay, again, this is the ratification of the covenant, and we're dealing with this ceremony that's taking place here in Canaan that's going to be basically followed by blessings and curses, and then they're going to be summoned to make an oath before the Lord before they get into the promised land. And so here's Mount Ebal, so they're on the floor of Canaan. You're about to come in, and he says here that you grab all the people. I want you to write all the words of this law. Now, this law that we're talking about, obviously, predominantly in the scriptures, when they talk about law, they're meeting what they call the Decalogue, which is the Ten Commandments. This actually is a greater piece of work than just the ten, because this also includes these blessings and these curses. And you'll notice some of these are actually not part of the Decalogue. And again, idea, if you go to Joshua chapter 8, Joshua says that they came out and they read this, and then as they did that, he says they read the law and the blessings and the cursings. I think it's verse 35, 835 or 34 or something like that. And so this was what was made. It was the stone, the hewn, so it was untouched, and then it was covered in limestone, which just made it easier to write. Or it could have actually been that Moses actually inscripted it. It's a bit unclear, because he would have learned that trade in Egypt as being a royal a part of the royal family that will learn very fine arts in this way. And so that could have been the case. But even today, if you go out to this region, you could find these humongous stones that are like, you know, thousands, 3,000 years old that have inscriptions on it. And, I mean, they still exist this day. And so you can see the trade and the craft by which it was used back then. And so it's the altar of the Lord, and so there's and think about kind of this idea of the purity of the altar. They had to be uncut stones. In other words, they're just directly from nature. They were there, and there were not to be any machinery or any kind of tools on these things. But it was meant to be very pure. And so when you think about this, when you think about the altar of God or having an altar before the Lord, I think in our present context, that would be basically like the place that we pray. It could be our quiet times, or what we know altars are sometimes places of decision that we make, places of worship. I'm not just talking about church, but I'm talking about personally. When we have an altar before the Lord, it's usually the place where we spend time with God. And if you think about that, it's this idea of purity that runs into the core of this, that when you come before the altar, it's a pure place. The altar is holy before the Lord. It's just you and God. I really love one of those old worship songs. And it's funny, you know, the older I get, the more nostalgic you get, but you enjoy the songs of your youth. And I find myself in my quiet times and all these things. Honest, I'm not singing the latest Hillsong songs because they're just too wordy. You know, there's just too many words, man, too many lyrics. I was like, just slow down a little bit and let's just worship in the psalm and whatnot. Had nothing to do with Hillsong. I'm just saying that type of music, you know, this current like Christian rock, pop, worship songs that are coming out. But there's that old song that says, "It's just you and me here now." You guys know the song? What's the name of that song, Nate? Yeah, only you. But it's such a beautiful phrase. And that's what the altar is. It's just you and me here now. It's just you and me, right? It's that place of intimacy, and nothing else steps into that place. It's natural. It's intimate. It's not. It's just made out of our hands. It doesn't include, you know, all these other things in it. And so he says to do this, and then he calls these people. And he says, "You shall sacrifice these peace offerings, you shall eat there and rejoice before the Lord your God." But let me see, where's this line here? Write on the words of the law you cross over, God of your fathers. Okay, I'll find it in a second. But let's look at this thing that happens now. So he puts them in, it's not necessarily a valley, but there's two hills there. There's Gerizim and there's Ebal. And so he sets aside the leaders of half his family. The sons go on Gerizim and the other half on Ebal. And 27 is dealing with the curses. 28 will be dealing with the blessings. And so you'll see how this is laid out. So it's not the inscription is not just all bad stuff, okay? So he broke this up in half. And so, but notice, I mean, if you look at this, notice who is on which mountain. And so in verse 12, "These shall stand on Gerizim to bless the people." Who's on this mountain? Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. You basically have the sons of Leah and the sons of Rachel. So they're sons. The cursed mountain stand on Mount Ebal. Now, I'm not saying they're cursed, okay? But they are given the honor, the glory, and sometimes the duty of offering the curses. And look who's in the other mountain. It's Reuben, okay, so that's Leah, Gad and Asher, who belong to Zilpah. Remember, this was Leah's servant. And then Zebulun, who's Leah's, and then Dan and Naphtali, which is Bilhah, the servant of of Rachel. And so, I mean, it's interesting how these things are divided up. So again, there's four moms in this picture. There's Leah, Rachel, whom he loves. And so it's natural that Joseph and Benjamin are part of that. And then you have the two servants that were given to them, to Jacob as well. You know, huge mistake in one sense. And then they are part of the mountain by which they offer up curses. I mean, you know, what does that mean? Honestly, I don't really know. I just think it's very interesting that the ones that are really, you know, and then the whole idea of Reuben and Zebulun, if you read in the passages, you know, I mean, there were some things going on in their families. And so now they're constricted with the duty of pronouncing the curses. Whereas the other guys, especially obviously Joseph and Benjamin, you'd expect them to be on the other mountain in Gerizim to pronounce the blessings over the people. And so this is what they're meant to do. They're meant to go on, and if you see how this procession, it's meant to be like this. Someone pronounces the blessing. So one of these sons, the families pronounces a blessing, and everyone turns and says, Amen. And then Ebal, right? And then the curses, yes. And the chorus actually was cursed or blessed, right? And you know, blessed be and cursed be. And sometimes it would change to cursed be not and cursed be. And so there would be this refrain that goes back and forth. And so one thing that you have to recognize is when the blessings or even the duty is being pronounced, it's always connected to God's blessing, okay? And so the Lord says, "Man, this is the blessing, or you can choose this way." It's like choose either one. You can, man, this is the blessing of the Lord, or you can choose to go down this path. It's not just all negative. You know what I mean? The world, in many ways, when they look at the church, and they just see negativity. They just see, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. But that's not really the scriptures. The scriptures are like, no, this is the blessed life. And thinking this kind of, let me just take up one thing, okay? I mean, it's easy to talk about, okay? Adultery. So the world says, man, why does God have to tell us not to do? We can do whatever we want. We're, you know, we are powerful. You know, there's a humanism, right? You know, and David Hume and all these things. And we can do this. We're intelligent people. We can make up our own mind. And God says, I want you to have a family. I want you to, just to be blessed in this family setting and have a wife of your youth that you can love and then bear children who will also love you and care for them and all these things. And so this is the blessing. This is what I have for you. This is intimacy. You know, this is two becoming one flesh. It's the most beautiful human expression of really God's love given to people. And this is what you can have. This is the blessing. So if you want that, you can't do this. So don't commit adultery, right? You know, because if you do that, this is going to be broken. If you do this part, then you're not going to have this. Trust is going to be broken. There's going to be brokenness in your families. There's going to be anger and hatred and so many horrible things are going to happen. This is the blessing I have for you. I have ordained that you'd have a wife of your youth and all these things. And then you can pass on generationally and, you know, how blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them, you know, and all these things. And then he says, so don't do this. And see, if you don't understand this blessing, you'll think, man, why are you telling me what to do, God? It's like, what's wrong with you, man? You know, I can do whatever I want. What do you mean I can't do this? And if you just focus on the curse, and that's what basically is the misinformation in the world. Because that's what basically most people think about the church or think about God or the Bible or the Ten Commandments. You know, it's all these, no, he says it's the blessing. God has a blessing for you. And this is his plan for your life, is to richly bless you. So don't do this. And it just, It just makes sense. But again, if you just focus on the don't or the curse without the framework of the blessing, yeah, it could lead you into a lot of rebellion and a lot of despair. That's why you have to know the blessings of God and what He has in store for us in so many different areas of our life. And He says that this is the blessing of the Lord. This is you know, what I have for you. This is what you do. And then, okay, so this is most I've ever moved my hands in the morning. So some of these, obviously, are quite taken right out of the commandments. 15, cursed is a man who makes an idol. We know that. Cursed is he who dishonors his father and mother. That's right there. And cursed he moves his neighbor's boundary mark. And then it kind of goes a little deeper in these things. And some of the, if you notice a lot of these things, you'll notice almost half that's laid out here actually deals with the issue of sexuality. Don't you find that very interesting? Almost half of all this thing is, and even some sexuality that's just honestly just gross, right? You know, having your mother's, lying with your mother to begin with, and then, you know, or your father, and then lying with your siblings, and then it's like, what, you know, why are we going here? You know, and all of a sudden lying with your animals. I was like, what the heck is going on? And you know, this actually, I mean, I don't want to gross you out, but this is a very common satanic ritual that you actually have. I guess they call it bestiality, right? I mean, it's crazy. And so, it's perversion that's laid out in such grotesque manners. But the devil just eats it up, man. Just eats it up. And I mean, it's quite crazy how this works. All right, so let's close our eyes. Sorry to leave you that as the last thought here, but. And so, I mean, let's think about this in this context. The blessings and the cursings. Tuesday, we're going to talk about the blessings and things, but, you know, here's the curses at Mount Ebal. Can you imagine being these people, you know, turn one side? Yes, amen. Amen, yeah. Bless, curse, bless. But do you know the blessings of God that He has in store for you? It says, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. So many wonderful things that God wants to shower you with. Because you're His people. I love the Luke passage, which says, you know, we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more than Heavenly Father give to those who ask? I'm a father, and I always want to give good things to my kids. Honestly, sometimes I want to give them bad things too, like candy, you know, that kind of stuff that I get in trouble for all the time with my wife. Because I know my kids like it. It's always the heart of a father. Father God, brothers and sisters, wants to richly bless you. It's always been His heart. He created His family. He created you to be part of that family. That we may co-labor together. Partnership. He loves us and He wants the best for us. His best, not what we may think of what's best. But there is a way, because we're given a choice, there's a path that we can choose as well that will take us away from God's blessing. That's why the Bible is so clear about the issue of obedience. And so today, as we start our day, let's choose the blessing. Whenever you're in a place of temptation, think of that in mind. What is the blessing that I'm giving up by making this choice? What am I transferring? What am I relieving myself of God's blessing to do X, Y, or Z? And I think that's a very good way to frame our actions in some ways. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Maybe you're in a place of temptation. Not sexually, I mean, it could be, but maybe all different kinds of things. I want to encourage you, like the Israelites standing here near these mountains, to choose the blessing instead of the curses.
Better is one day in your house. thousands, I swear.
Let's pray this morning. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and really check our hearts as we walk through, and to really understand the gravity of our actions. And let's pray for His wisdom and His protection, and pray that we would always choose to walk in His blessing instead of in the curse. And let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for strength. And let's pray for God's wisdom to surround us at this time. Let's lift up. Pray for our community. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters that are going through cancer and going through other chemotherapy and whatnot. I'll just alert you to one of the requests there in two. It's Maria Duma. This is actually one of our Indonesian sisters who's just been diagnosed with leukemia. And so let's just continue to pray for her. She's actually quite young. And so let's ask God's hand to be over her and just give her a lot of strength and courage over this time. Let's pray. For our community that's battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that's dealing with non-cancer related issues. I would like to also alert you to Christina Chung's mother. She has been recovering quite well, but she fell off her bed yesterday, and now there's a brain hemorrhage on the other side of her head. and so other side of her brain, and so she's basically back at square one. And so if we really pray for her, the surgery went very well yesterday, and so there's no complications there, but again, it's kind of like going back to square one. And so if you can just lift them up, and especially lift up Christina and the family. As you can imagine, they're quite weary having to walk through this journey again with her mom. And let's just pray for God's protection over them and over their mind and their attitudes and thoughts. And let's just continue to cover Kiwan and Christina and their family, and continue to pray for the mom as well, that God would just do another miracle of healing over her. There'll be a two-time blessing over. And let's cover. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's just continue to pray and ask God's provision. You know, we've seen a lot of people get jobs in the last year as we've been praying for them. And let's pray that God would fulfill His promise to each of them. And let's just pray for our mission prayers. And today let's pray for Singapore and Indonesia as well. Praise God, our Singapore group found a new place to meet. Actually, you guys are meeting this Sunday, right, John? Yeah, so they're moving this Sunday, and they'll be at the Grand Copthorne Waterfront Hotel. They got an amazing deal, amazing place. And so let's just ask God's hand to be continue to be with them, and pray for a real incredible celebration this Sunday as they gather in the new facilities. Let's pray for Pastor Sam and the whole family. Let's ask God's hand to be with them. Let's pray for Indonesia as well. Let's pray for SP Indonesia. They also need to move as well, as we're basically losing the community center at the end of this year. And so pray for Pastor Selamat and for the ladies. Pray for a lot of wisdom as they figure out the next place to meet and where the ministry can happen unfettered. And let's continue to pray for our mission friends in Kupang as well. Let's pray. Let's pray over our missions committee. Particularly, let's pray for Pastor Ricky as he leads our mission endeavors as a church. Let's pray for all the members. You know, it takes quite a bit of time, a lot of energy, and a lot of prayer to do this right. And so let's just continue to pray for our leaders that are serving in this ministry, that they will just really give their whole heart and really be used by God in this regard, and really lead our church and to continue to be more and more missional. Let's pray. For our local outreach, let's ask for God's hand. Let's continue to pray for the community center while we have it. Pray for Agape, the homeless ministry, SP Lights, Freedom Bridge, and Drug Rehab Ministry, all our volunteers, our leaders that are leading. Pray for God's wisdom and strength and anointing to really be used by God to impact people's lives. Let's lift up. Let's pray for all of our activities tonight. Let's pray for the college ministry. Let's pray for the IP team and also our EG class. And let's pray that God would meet with us. His presence would be so thick in the midst of our activities, and that people would be drawn closer to the Lord. Let's pray for our house churches tonight, McCain and Discovery Bay. Let's pray for, actually, I don't think DB actually meets on Friday nights. I think they meet on Saturdays, if I recall. But let's just cover and ask for God's hand to be upon our brothers and sisters that are gathering tonight. Thank you. Some of you guys may have received a note that I sent yesterday about what we sense is going to happen in the next few weeks. And I just want to encourage you to just to continue to seek the Lord and just continue to pray and repent, share Christ with as many people as you can. You know, I don't want to make it sound like a very alarming thing, but it could be. And so protect your families, protect yourselves during this time, and just really just continue to seek God's face. And, you know, I'm continually drawn to the passage in Ezekiel. It says, I looked for a man who would stand in the gap and pray, but I didn't find anyone, so then I had to come and bring judgment. And so let's pray that we would just come and stand in the gap on behalf of nations and peoples, and just really continue to seek Him in what could be a very perilous time that we're about to step into. Amen. Can we just close our time, and can I just have some sisters or brothers? I think Christina's here. All right, you guys, can you just surround her and let's just pray for her? And you know, it's quite difficult to have this happen again, and I think she needs our support and blessing. Let me just close us. And Father, we just thank you, God. We thank you that we can choose blessing, God. And we thank you for our community that comes together, God. And we pronounce a blessing, God, over Christina, over her mom, over her whole family. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, release your healing word. Lord, let the spirit of encouragement, God, and faith, Lord, begin to rise up in the midst of the weariness, Lord. Lord, bless her. Lord, watch over us today, God, as we run hard after you, Father. Lord, have mercy on us, God, I pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please continue to minister to Christina and just cover them as we seek the Lord.